What a blessing it is to be here. It is a wonderful to be here. I want to just say thank you, preacher, for the wonderful meal. Thank you for the wonderful place that you've put me up at. Thank you for everything. Again, I want to thank the church on behalf of my wife and myself. Thank you for helping us to get to Africa. It was a wonderful trip for us. We got to preach to over 800 boys and girls on that trip. And we got to help start a new ministry, got to help start a mission, a missionary from my son-in-law's church. They sent him out for the first time as missionaries to start another church in Ghana, West Africa. So we got to help him and Lily, the young, granddaughter who had to have the open heart surgery. She is doing well. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. There are some pictures on the back table, just some random pictures I brought just to show you some of the places that we were in. Stop by, look at them. I'll be back there for a few minutes after church service, and I can tell you what they're all about. There's one, it's the plantation where they have bananas, and you'll see my son-in-law walking through them. You'll see a house where one of his church members live, and you'll see some of their kids and things like that. And I just, again, want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all that you did to help us to get to Africa. If you have your Bibles again, open up to chapter 16, verse 19. I just want to talk to you about the glimpses of hell today. The glimpses of hell. Here's the background. The rich man, the Bible talks about, says he had everything. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. He had everything that he wanted. He probably had a big house because it talks about having a gate around a gate where Lazarus laid, and they brought the food out, the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, so Lazarus could have it. And he had everything. And it says he fared sumptuously every day. Basically, it was one continual party for him because he could party. He had everything. And then it talks about Lazarus, a beggar, body full of sores, wanting to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And then it says both of them died. Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man says he lifted up his eyes in hell. I just want to share some things with you. Number one, it was a terrible trip. How many of you all went on vacation and had a terrible trip? I have. You know, I travel all over America, and sometimes I have terrible trips. I was coming back from Kansas City last weekend, and my big inflatable, I usually stand it up on end in the trailer, and I was coming, and it shifted, and I almost lost the trailer. And I thought to myself, this is not good. The other two guys that was riding with me, they was both asleep, and they don't remember me saying anything other than, oh, no. They would have probably really realized it if the trailer had disappeared from the back of my truck and the truck had flipped over or something. But you know what? We've all had terrible trips. But this guy had a real terrible trip. The Bible says, in hell, he lifted his eyes. Number one, under the terrible trip, it was a swift visit. He did not realize he was going to hell. Think about that. It was something that was all of a sudden. Folks, listen, we do not know when we're going to die. You do not know when you're going to die. It was a swift visit for this gentleman. Second, it was an unexpected visit. He had everything that he wanted on this earth. Everything. He had money. He had the clothes. He had everything. But you know what? He wasn't expecting to go to hell. A lot of us today don't expect to go to hell. A lot of us think it's a figment of people's imagination. There is no hell. A lot of people say there's hell here on this earth. And people say, well, I've lived in hell all my life. But folks, listen, God talks more about hell than he does heaven because he doesn't want people to spend eternity in hell. He warns us. He tells us. He wants us to understand, folks, listen, there is a hell. There was a swift visit. It was an unexpected visit. He didn't plan on going to hell. It was unplanned. How many of you all get in your car to go on vacation and you just drive and you don't know where you're going? You know where you're going. You know exactly how long it's going to take you to get somewhere. You know exactly where you're going to stop. You plan every little detail. He didn't plan on going to hell. When I plan my trips, I know exactly where I'm going to stop and exactly how far I can get and things like that. He made his plans not to go to hell. He didn't believe in hell. It was an unplanned visit. Folks, listen. Some of you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to understand you can realize where you could spend eternity this morning before you leave. You don't have to plan on it. You don't have to worry about where you're going, if you're going to heaven or hell, if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It was a swift visit. It was an unexpected visit. It was unplanned. It was unavoidable, folks. Some people say, well, when I die, there is nothing after death. Folks, listen, do you want to take that chance? Do you want to take the chance that there is no life after death? There is. The Bible tells us that. And the instant you stop taking your last breath, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. It's an unavoidable visit. You say, well, I was raised in a different religion. I might be going to purgatory and people can get me out of purgatory. No. The Bible don't talk about purgatory. It's an unavoidable visit, folks. You die without Jesus as your Savior, you're going to hell. The Bible tells me that. So it was a swift visit. It was an unexpected visit. It was an unplanned visit. It was an unavoidable visit. The rich man went to hell because he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe in God. The second thing I want you to see is this. It was a sensed visit. A lot of people say when you go to hell, you're not going to see, you're not going to hear, you're not going to taste, you're not going to have any senses in heaven. But what's the Bible say? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by Abraham by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Folks, number one under that, it tells me he could see in hell. You will be able to see what's going on. You will be able to see the pain of the other people as they burn in the lake of fire. You will be able to see the torments that's going on in the lake of fire. Folks, listen, the Bible tells us that you'll be able to see. Because he lifted up his eyes in hell, folks. He knows what's going on. He could see. The next, he spoke. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus within the bosom, and he cried and said that, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Folks, listen, he was crying to God, to Abraham, Lord God, Abraham, please send Lazarus. Please send Lazarus to me. Let him take the tip of his finger and touch it in water and reach down and touch my tongue so I can be cool for a second. He cried. We beg people. And we beg people to understand that there is a hell. And we want people to understand there is a place of everlasting torment. He cried. And he was crying to God, to Abraham, Lord, please, Abraham, please. Just take the tip of your finger of Lazarus so he can touch my tongue. And then he spoke, he cried, he asked for water. Then he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back that he could talk to my five brethren. He carried on a conversation. And then, I want you to see this. He heard. He heard what Abraham had to say to him. He heard what was going on in heaven. He heard what Abraham was saying to him. He heard the groans and the pain of all the people screaming out in hell. Folks, listen, you'll be able to hear that. You'll be able to hear. He could see. He could talk. He could taste. He could hear. Oh, folks, listen. Imagine you burning in hell for the rest of your life, knowing that you could easily stay out of it if you just accepted Jesus as your Savior. There was a young man that rode my bus. He rode the bus on a Sunday morning, and I talked to him about getting saved, and I talked to him and showed him these verses. He said, I just don't want to do it. He was 14 years old. He got home, and we dropped him off on that Sunday night. That Sunday night, about 11 o'clock at night, his house caught on fire. He jumped out of the second story window on fire. And when I went to the hospital to see him, he says, I know what hell feels like now. I should have listened to you. Oh, folks, listen. Hell is real. It burns with everlasting fire. And there's torment for everlasting. For eternity. That young man had scars all over his body. I just wondered, all he had to do was accept Jesus as his Savior. He said, Brother Mitchell, I could see hell in front of me. All I could see and felt the pain of that fire burning on my skin. Oh, folks, you don't have to have that feeling in hell. You could avoid it. He could sense it. He could talk. He heard. He could taste. And I want you to understand, all the answers that Abraham gave him was negative. He says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to my five brothers. You can't do it. Have him take the tip of his finger and touch it in water, put it in water and touch my tongue so I can be cool. Can't do it. Everything was negative that he heard from Abraham. He didn't want to hear that, folks. Some of you might not want to hear this. But I want you to understand, the reason they have Vacation Bible School and reach people and go after people and send missionaries all around the world is that they want to see people get saved, and so they don't have to spend eternity in hell. Then it was a suffering visit. Look at verse 23. It was a suffering visit. It was an unbelievable visit. Verse 23, it says this: in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It was an unbelievable visit. It was an unbearable visit. Verse 24, have mercy on me, said Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. It was unbearable. And then it was an unending visit. He was not going to escape out of hell, folks. No matter what people tell you, no what people say to you, you're not going to leave hell if you go. And we're here to sound the warning and say, hey, listen, you don't have to go. All you got to do is be willing to say, I accept Jesus as my Savior and repent of my sins and ask Him to come into your heart and save you. It was an unending visit. It was an unbearable visit. It was an unbelievable visit. And then it was a seeking visit. He wanted to have mercy. Have mercy on me. I don't like this. I don't like the pain. I don't like the suffering. Have mercy on me. You know, God has mercy on you right now. You think about it. God, instantly, quicker than I could snap my finger, take your life right now. That's mercy. Grace, He gives us because He knows we're sinners. And He's given you time to accept Jesus as your Savior. But just imagine it, that if He said, your time is up, and you didn't accept Jesus as your Savior. Oh, folks, listen. God has mercy on us because we sin every day of our life. Standing before you is a dirty, rotten sinner, saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because one day in 1975 on Easter Sunday, somebody asked me to come to church like somebody asked some of you to come to church today. I was raised in a very wealthy family. I had anything I wanted. In 1966... I started getting a $100 a week allowance. You think about that. That was a lot of money back then. I got it. My brother got it. I had anything that I wanted, folks. We had a live-in housekeeper that took care of us. Fixed our meals, did our laundry, did everything. I was in need of nothing. I had anything I wanted, folks. And my dad had built some businesses that did well, and he said, you can have anything you want. But my dad wasn't saved. My dad didn't take us to church. My dad didn't care anything about church. Money was his God. And he was teaching his two sons that money was could be their gods. My mom was saved. She tried to get us to go to church, but Dad just didn't make us. I played sports and got a scholarship to college, and all along through college, it was tough for me. Because I was like the rich man. I partied all the time. You think about it. You get a full scholarship to college, and you get put in an athletic dorm. And that's the first time I really was away from the house, when I got stuck in the athletic dorm. My roommate was an alcoholic. The first night I woke up, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he's sitting on my chest, drunk as a skunk. And I thought, what have I got myself into? I never drank because my dad was an alcoholic, and my brother was. And I knew what alcohol could do to you, but I hung around the wrong people, and everybody thought I was a wild kid. I liked to go to the parties, but I didn't drink. But my association and me partying all the time, I lost my scholarship because I couldn't make the grades. And I worked hard, got my scholarship back. And I went to our chaplain one day, who was a Methodist, and I sat down and poured my heart out to him. He says, "You need to go home and find you a Christian girl and get away from all these girls at college." So I drove home on a Wednesday night. I pulled up in front of her house, and I knocked on the door. Nobody answered. And I wondered where they were on a Wednesday night. They got home about 9 o'clock, and I got out of the car, and I didn't look like I do now. I had a long beard, and I had long hair. And I went up to talk to her, and I said, "Where have you been?" She said, "At church." I said, "Church? Who goes to church on Wednesday night?" And she said, "Well, we do." And I sat down and talked to her, and she says, "Would you come to church for me on Easter Sunday, 1975? I wanted to date the young lady. Her dad wouldn't let me date her because of the way I looked. I had the long hair, the full beard. I wore 4-inch platform heels. I liked bright colored pants. I had orange bell-bottom pants, 18-inch bells. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I wore fishnet shirts, and some of you probably don't know what those are, and some of you do. And I wonder why her dad wouldn't let me date her." And I asked him twice, and he says, "No." And the second time, "If you'll come to church, you can date my daughter in church." Easter Sunday came. I didn't go. But sometime in that afternoon, something started working in my life. It says, "You promised her you would come to church. You promised her." And I went to church that Sunday, Easter Sunday, 1975. Wearing my platform heels, my orange bell-bottom pants, my fishnet shirt. I walked in the back of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church in Lexington, Kentucky. And I sat in the very back pew because I wanted to escape when I got done. She was sitting in the choir loft, and her mom says, "Well, look who just walked in." And Donna says, "Yeah, but I'm not going to sit with him." And her mom said, "Yeah, you are. You invited him to come to church." And she said, "All I want to do is slide underneath the pews." And for the first time in my life, I heard a preacher point his bony little finger at me. And I was sitting in the very back, and I knew he couldn't see me, but that finger just kept pointing at me and pointing at me. And for the first time, I heard him say, if you die without Jesus, you could go to hell. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And as soon as he was done, I didn't have to worry about the song. I started down that aisle. And I came down and I knelt and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Hey, folks, listen. I was that rich boy. I was that rich guy. Hey, folks, listen. If I had died without Jesus, I would have spent eternity in hell. But because one young lady invited me to come to church, I went and I heard the gospel for the first time in my life at the age of 19. Every day, I thank that young lady for inviting me to come to church. When I'm not home, I call her and I say, thank you. I love you. And in the mornings when I get up, I give her a kiss and I say, thank you for inviting me to come to church. She's been my wife now for 38 years. Oh, folks, listen. You don't have to be that rich man. You don't have to worry about going to hell if you would just be willing to say, yes, I'll come to Jesus Christ as my Savior. All you got to do is be willing to admit that you're a sinner. Folks, we're all sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of God, which is heaven. And the Bible says, because of his love, and he commanded his love towards us while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And he rose again on the third day. And he says, I've put a penalty on that sin. That penalty is death, a separation from God. But he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say hopefully. It doesn't say if you do good, if you get baptized, if you become a church member. It doesn't say any of that. It says you shall be saved. You know, today, some of you need to make that decision. You say, but I live a wicked life. So did I. So did I. But God reached down one day and brought me up out of the miry clay. Amen. Oh, folks, listen. All you got to do is hold out your hand and say, Lord, I need you. That's right. I need you. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. It was a suffering visit. It was a seeking visit. It was a solemn visit. Because every time that rich man thought, how many times he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. How many times, maybe in his life, that he heard from somebody and they heard about the Lord and about Jesus and God, and he didn't pay attention. It was a solemn visit because he remembered every time he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a settled visit. It was permanent, folks. It was permanent. And then, I want you to understand, it was also a soul-winning visit. What's it say? Send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He says, folks, listen, I'm already here. I know what it is. Please send somebody and tell my family, my five brethren. He said, send Lazarus back, and Lazarus couldn't go. He said, if they don't listen to the preachers, if they don't listen to the Sunday school teachers, if they don't listen to the people around them giving the gospel, the soul winners, folks, listen, your family's going to die and go to hell. They got to listen to the people still on earth. He was burdened for his brothers. How many of us burdened for our families? See, I didn't want my brother to go to hell. I tried every way in the world to witness to my brother. He wouldn't have anything to do with me. He wouldn't have anything to do with my family. He thought I was nuts going into full-time Christian work. But one Thursday night, Thanksgiving, about 10 years ago, he called me. He says, before you go back to Michigan, can we have breakfast in the morning? I said, sure. He says, I got some questions to ask you. I took my New Testament and I went to Bob Evans on Winchester Road in Lexington, Kentucky. And I prayed and asked God to let me have the opportunity to give him the gospel. We sit down at breakfast and he says, Rick, can you tell me the difference between Catholics and Baptists? I pulled out my New Testament. I gave him the gospel. He didn't get saved, folks. He didn't get saved. All the way back to Michigan, I kept saying, Lord, why did you give me the opportunity to give him the gospel? And he didn't get saved. Why? And I was burdened for my brother. That fall in March, I was out in California, in Stockton, California, on my birthday. And my wife called and wished me happy birthday, and she said, you got a card from your brother. I said, well, open it up and read it. She says, you'll be home tomorrow. I'll pick you up at the airport. I'll bring you the card. Folks, remember, my brother and I never talked. I never got anything from my brother. And she handed me the card when I got in the car from the airport. And it says, I just want you to know your God is now my God. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I called him up and I said, brother, what took you so long? He says, I wanted to watch and see if it was really real in your life. Yeah. Folks, listen, God is real. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But we've got to be willing to tell them. Are you willing to say, yes, I need the Lord? And I got to lead my dad to the Lord. Are you burdened for your loved ones? Are you burdened for your classmates, your co-workers? Are you burdened for anybody for the Lord Jesus Christ? He was burdened for his brothers. He wanted immediate attention. It was intense. He wouldn't take no for an answer. But that's all he got was no. Folks, there's going to be people that in your life that you give the gospel to and they'll tell you no. But you got to keep going back. You got to keep going back. And you got to keep giving them the gospel. Oh, folks, listen. God says there is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a place of everlasting enjoyment where you can walk on the streets of gold, where there is no pain and no more sorrow, where is light continually for eternity. Jesus is there. Or you could reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you could spend eternity in hell in everlasting torment, in flames, in pain for eternity. It's your choice. All you have to do is make the right choice. Either I say yes to the Lord or you reject the Lord. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, let me ask you to do something this morning. Would you consider, would you be willing to say, I need the Lord in my heart? All you have to do is be willing to step out. Be willing to let somebody show you from the Bible how to get saved. If you're here this morning and the Lord's put some names on your mind of loved ones, fellow classmates, co-workers, if God's burdened your heart that you need to be a soul winner or give the gospel to somebody, would you respond? Let's stand to our feet with your head bowed and your eyes closed.